Good. Arlene Mayerson is with us. She is an attorney, the directing attorney of the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund. Arlene, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I brought up on this program a week or so ago when this story first hit the paper, the story of a young girl in a 9-year-old, I believe she is now, in Seattle, developmentally disabled, whose parents had her undergo a hysterectomy and mastectomy and gave her hormones to stunt her growth so as to keep her small as she became geologically older, or physiologically older, and put forward my belief that this was a good thing both for her and her parents. Your organization, DREDF.org, the website, the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, took strong exception to that and posted a, or not just my saying that, I guess anybody saying that, but I got a letter specifically about my saying it, and posted a note over on your website, which our listeners can read. And so I thought it would be good if we had a conversation about this. Can you tell me, what's your position on this?
I think it really boils down to one simple question. Is Ashley, a 9-year-old girl, human? And if Ashley is human, then she has integrity of her body and autonomy of her body. And no one can decide that they want her shorter, that they want to stunt her growth, that they don't want her to develop into a woman. These are all natural processes that happen to every individual. And there's absolutely no debate in this case that Ashley needed any medical intervention for a medical health-related reasons. She didn't have a hysterectomy because she had cancer. She didn't have her breast bud removed because she had some kind of disease. She was given these procedures simply because she is a mentally retarded, physically disabled child. And she is not being given the most basic right, which is to grow up. And the idea that her parents and these websites call her a pillow angel, I think, really epitomizes the idea that she's been objectified as something other than human, something that can be, molded into someone else's image. And she's a person. And I think that there's no question that we don't do these things to children that we consider to be humans. I think it really raises a fundamental question.
Well, we do interrupt natural processes, and we do reorganize the bodies of our children and ourselves. I mean, growing fingernails and hair, for example, a very simple example, correcting for vision, using prosthetics. My wife's grandmother was disabled with polio. I mean, there are many ways that we deal with disability.
Well, I mean, let me step backwards to say these are, what you're talking about is kind of this, it's an interesting kind of reversal of all the tenets of the disability rights movement. The disability rights movement are the first to say, yes, of course, you can use prosthetics, you can use wheelchairs, you can use all the things that are available to Ashley's parents right now to help someone have a more productive, independent life. But that's very different than saying you take something away from someone, you give them massive surgeries, you do invasive surgery that's painful and that's cannot be altered. For what? I think it's useful to go through the reasons that they're giving, and every single reason, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, the for what is that she is so profoundly retarded that she has not yet reached, at the age of 9, the developmental stage where she can sit up. And if her body remains, 70, 80, 90 pounds instead of becoming 150 pounds, she's less likely to have bed sores. It'll be easier for her to be handled and treated by her parents. And so as they age, they can continue to be care providers for her rather than having to institutionalize her.
Well,
that seems like a very humane thing.
I mean, from a logical point of view, let's go through each of those reasons. First of all, there's no doubt in anyone's mind, by the way, and I think we should just set it aside, that everyone agrees her parents love her. No question about that.
Yes.
There are people with disabilities who are normal size, who have grown to the size that they would have grown to, that join their families on vacations, that spend time in the family room with the rest of the family, that do all the things they think that these drastic measures to alter her size require. There are lots and lots of people in this situation, and one of the things I really question and feel quite concerned about is to what extent Ashley and her parents and her doctors were exposed to these people. I know from the work that we do, I work with literally hundreds of parents who are in the situation of Ashley, and they see their children as individuals with autonomy. And you know what? You don't, reaching a developmental age to sit up doesn't necessarily follow, it doesn't necessarily say anything about the person. I mean, I know people who are my colleagues that I argue against with in court who can't sit up on
that. No, but this is not because of a physical disability. This is because of the development of her brain.
I mean, she has both physical and mental disabilities.
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of people who have both physical or mental disabilities, and they, I think that,
we're talking about a child that has functionally no cognitive function at all.
Well, first of all, I absolutely don't think one can say that. I mean, on one hand, they're saying, you know, she smiles, she likes this person, she doesn't like that person, she likes this food, she doesn't like that food. She has, you know, desires, she has things that she doesn't like, she enjoys spending time with the family. And then on the other hand, she has absolutely no cognitive, she's, you know what that, to me, it's a symbol for she is not human, because if she's a human being. She has, she might not have the same intelligence that you or I have, but she has her own identity. She is Ashley. She's not just a embodiment of a no brain or of a low intelligence. She's Ashley. She's a person.
And so, in your opinion, her integrity as a person should be respected, even if that means she becomes institutionalized rather than remaining with her parents as they get older and it's more difficult to handle.
I think it's an absolutely false dilemma and a sad one. I mean, I've been working myself. You know, certainly I have many great predecessors. Myself, I've been working in the disability rights movement for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we are living in America. Those are not the options that should be posed. I mean, to say that we either, it's such a false dilemma that's been posed. We say either we do massive surgeries that no one would choose as elective surgeries, okay? Either do we do massive surgeries.
Well, I think I would, actually.
Child, or...
Arlene, let me just challenge that point, though. If I knew that my ability to be comfortable as I aged could be modified by surgery and I had and everything else was pretty much out of my control, I would choose that. I think if I was Ashley, I would choose to go through what Ashley went through.
You don't. You know what? This is.
I know I can't know that.
Dilemma that's been put. Let me just say, it's such a false dilemma that's been posed. This idea that we're going to do these massive operations on her, massive hormone therapy, because we think she might be more comfortable. I mean, there are people a lot bigger than 5'6" that have the situation that Ashley has that are comfortable and that are included in, they have families and they're included in things and they're not you know, it's a false dilemma that's been posed. And to say that let's do this to the person because otherwise they might have to be institutionalized really raises the question. And I don't know how much time we have left, but I think it's a very important thing, at least from the Disability Rights Education Defense Fund point of view, is not to just look at this as like one sensationalized story, but to look at it as an opportunity to really examine, well, what is available to help parents? And, you know, we're the first ones. We represent hundreds and hundreds of parents. We're the first ones to say, absolutely, there needs to be more support.
So you're saying, yeah, well, the point of your article was fix the system, not the person, but it
right.
raises the question.
Right. I mean, this is not just one sensational story. This is a situation where people, you know, yes, most people love their children, and most people love their disabled children, and most people with severely disabled children do need assistance and do need supports. But to say, well, and I think this family actually has the resources to get those, but to say, well, let's not go there, but let's start talking about how we can alter the person, severely alter the person. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, one thing here or there. For instance, let me just give you two examples.
Arlene, we have to take a break. You want to stick around and take a couple calls from our listeners?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. We're talking with Arlene Mayerson. She's the directing attorney for the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, DREDF.org. If you want to read their statement on the Ashley case, it's over at their website. Our number, 866-440-8466. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the True People's Radio, 21 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're talking with Arlene Mayerson, the Directing Attorney for the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, DREDF.org. Arlene, we have a couple of callers. We didn't establish any kind of ground rules with you in the beginning that, you know, I'm asking our callers not to beat up on you or whatever, if that's, that's okay. But, before I go to the calls, and we only have, I think about 5 minutes in the segment, but, it seems to me that there is a parallel in the two sides of this argument with the abortion argument. And that is that in the abortion argument, there are some folks who say it's from the moment of conception, from the moment of fertilization, it's now a person, period, end of discussion. In other words, it's a totally black and white thing, versus the folks who see shades of gray, which is the official and legal position of the United States, that at least up until the point of viability, it's the choice of the mother whether or not to abort, and past the point of viability, it becomes an issue that the state can interfere with. Isn't there an argument to be made that there's a threshold, a cognitive threshold, where the rights of the parents might supersede those of the child?
Well, that's a great segue back to what I said as my very first sentence. I think the question is, right here, is Ashley human? And if you answer the question yes, then you have to be against everything that's happened. If you answer the question no, then I think, you know, if she's not human, then yes, you know, you can do all kinds of things with her because she's not human. Mm-hmm. But if she is human, and if people with severe cognitive disabilities are human, then they have human dignity, human autonomy, and human integrity.
Okay. Linda in Madison, Wisconsin, you're live with Arlene Mayerson.
Hello.
Hello, Linda.
Hi. I'm a mother. I'm 60 years old. I've got two daughters, one natural, she's 30, and one 17 that I adopted. They're both severely MR. They both have trachs. They both are G-tube fed. Jody's raised at about 3 months. Rachel's probably at around 4 months. I'm also a nurse, and I work at Central Wisconsin Center for DD. We've had residents out there raped and pregnant. My daughters are both 70 pounds. I'm only 110 pounds myself. My kids are both very small, and no, I have not gotten them fixed, would I love to, but it's against the law here. But my question is, who's going to take care of these girls when they're pregnant? Who's going to explain to them that you are now in labor? Who's going to take care of that baby? Who's going to protect them when I no longer can? Because something like 70% of DD are sexually and or physically abused. That's my question.
Thank you, Linda. Arlene?
I'm glad that you brought that up, because the example that I was going to use about how, you know, basically taking a shotgun to kill a flea, or what I said about no one would choose these as elective surgeries, is that, you know, we all know that there are less drastic ways to have birth control than removing someone's uterus and ovaries. I mean, Not a common way to have birth control is to have a hysterectomy.
Well,
and a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, and a lot of disabled people, for a lot of reasons, and other people, shouldn't get pregnant, and don't want to get pregnant, and there's ways to deal with that in a much less drastic way. But even most important, the thing that I thought was amazing about the doctors actually responding as to why they gave a hysterectomy was because they want to relieve her of the possibility of having menstrual cramps.
Sure.
They're giving a hysterectomy because of the possibility that she might have menstrual cramps. I suggest taking a couple Advil at that point and seeing how that works first.
Let me address that. Both of my girls are on a number of medications for seizures, spasticity. And now you want me to add birth control, which is dangerous in itself. When my girls do have their menstrual period, I don't know if they're in pain or not. I have to guess. I have to give them something.
And well, you have to know. You might not know whether they're in pain.
But you don't.
For their cramps,
that's
but you
the
have
thing.
To know that they'd be in pain from a hysterectomy.
Well, they both had spine surgery. They both had hip surgery, muscle and tendon cutdowns. Should I have not done that because they would have been in pain?
No, but those were, I assume you did them because they were medically necessary.
Well,
we're talking
a family's right to try to keep their child home. Do you have a handicapped child?
I work with and friends with many people with disabled children who are very much like Ashley. And yes, they have kept them at home. And yes, they have to struggle and they need supports. And we are dedicated as an organization to making sure that people have the supports they need. But we do not think that you go in and medically experiment with human beings.
That's not experimentation.
Yes, it is. You said that,
it's
for
protection.
Instance, you said the pill.
You are protecting your child.
Well,
I think this is the fundamental argument. We're not going to certainly resolve it here today. But Linda, thank you very much for calling and for the you know, what you're doing with your children. Arlene, thank you so much for being with us today and coming on and discussing this with us.
Okay.
I think that we've given a lot of people a lot to think about. And
again, if anyone wants to go on our website, www.dredf.org, and I'm happy also to continue the conversation with Linda. And yeah, we're dedicated to getting the supports families need, and we're very much in support of families.
Thank you. 27 minutes past the hour.